This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, everything we hear about rivers seems to be negative, doesn't it? They're full of sewage and they're filthy. Climate change and abstraction are leaving them feeble and often dry, and their rich wildlife, well, that's long since gone. So it's nice to have some good news about one of Hertfordshire's internationally important super rare chalkstream rivers, the River Ash. In the largest habitat restoration project our county has ever known, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust has restored a 7 kilometre stretch of the river to make it better for nature and for us. I spoke to Sarah Perry, the River Catchment Coordinator for the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust, and I started by asking her to explain to us where the River Ash flows.
The River Ash is around 15 to 16 kilometres long, and it rises up near Fernocks Pelham and then flows southeast down through the Haddams, down through Widford and Wearside, and joins the River Lee down near Amwell Nature Reserve.
And the project that you're doing here is just working on a 7 kilometre stretch of the River Ash. Why did you decide on that bit in particular?
This is about a third of the total length of the river. It's a part of the river that always flows through the whole year. And conveniently, it is all within the stewardship of the Easney Estate. So really active stewards for wildlife in the Ash Valley and for farming as well, producing really high quality food. So it kind of came about quite organically and as a natural partnership, really, to think about how can we look towards the river together and really improve that as a stronghold for wildlife, which takes up a good third of the lower valley.
So this was your aim, was it, to make this river better for wildlife?
Absolutely. Well, the Ash is one of only a handful of chalk streams in Hertfordshire. There's around 260 in the world, and most of those are here in the southeast and sort of going up towards Lincolnshire and down to Devon. So we are in a position where we should be safeguarding these rivers, both for the variety of wildlife they support, the kingfishers, the wild brown trout, the waterfowl, but also for people and the role that they play in the communities local in Hertfordshire.
But of course, this wasn't just about working with nature. You have had to work with a lot of people and bodies to get this project done, haven't you? Now, you mentioned the Easney Estate there. It must have been quite hard winning their trust. These are really major works on their land, aren't they?
The Easney Estate have been fantastic. You know, the Booksons who run the estate, who own the estate, have been there for generations. So obviously the land and the river through it is a really key important part of the farm to them. And we've had quite a long-standing relationship, the Wildlife Trust, with the estate. And this was really building off of that and looking towards doing something a bit more ambitious together that would really help safeguard wildlife on the farm for future generations, you know, and go some way towards, I suppose, cementing their love of the river as well and how they use it day to day.
Yeah. But as far as things like funding goes, you've had to involve even more bodies, haven't you? This must have been quite a juggling act, trying to ensure you had enough funding to allow this project to go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's always lots of plates to be spinning when you're planning and delivering river restoration projects. So there's the build-up, really, to the delivery is, you know, it was many years in the making, around 6 years. Of course, we had COVID in the middle, so that did put a bit of a pause on things for a short amount of time. But we really have to balance the needs of the regulating bodies, so the Environment Agency, Natural England, if they're involved, any planning authorities as well. Think about the local community. So some of the areas are around the river up near Widford are quite well loved and well used by the local community. So really trying to think about how can we engage people, you know, earlier on to make sure people are aware of what's coming and the changes aren't such a shock when they happen. Then, of course, going out to find the funding, which is quite a challenge. So as part of this scheme was delivered through the DEFRA Species Survival Fund. So this is a UK government fund geared up towards supporting their 30 by 30 targets in the environment plan. So 30% of land and sea managed for nature by 2030. So this goes some way to supporting that. And then, of course, bringing in additional match funding through sources like the Environment Agency and other pots as well. So it is really quite multifaceted. There's a lot of planning that goes in at the background stage before you get to the point where you have the diggers on the ground and the spades in. And yeah, it's just really fantastic to see that it's all come together and we've managed to do it.
Can you just give us a rough idea how much this project cost? Just to sort of give us an idea of the size of it, I suppose.
So it's a, you know, it's a chunky project. In total, 6 kilometres of chalk stream restored, and that involved quite a lot of heavy earth moving, really, putting gravel back over 3,000 tonnes where that had been dredged out in the past, installing new fencing to stop cows going in the river and poaching the banks and causing lots of sediment ingress, regrading and creating old paleo channels where the river used to flow. So lots and lots of big activities, which required a fairly healthy budget. So in total, somewhere between sort of £600,000 and £650,000 to restore that 6 kilometres and create a number of wetland features as well along the valley. And this really, it's quite in line with the sort of average cost of river restoration. There's a bit of a contingent of us that are looking at kilometre costs to restore chalk streams, and it comes out in and around the £100,000 mark to do it properly. So we're definitely sort of in market line there. It's a big project. It's certainly the biggest project that the Trust has managed and one of the biggest free NGOs in Hertfordshire.
That's fantastic. Now, can we just talk a little bit more about some of those things that you've mentioned there? Now, to start off with, you've been wiggling the river. So why is wiggling a river important? Was it wiggled before, or where did the wiggles go?
Yes, they're very important. It's very important to have meanders, we call them, the nice wiggles in the river. So naturally, the river would wiggle. It would move across its floodplain. But over the years, over the last 200 years especially, people have straightened the channels. They've confined the river to one side or other of the floodplain and artificially straightened them. These were for reasons to do with dredging or flood risk or old historic milling practices, even to raise a head of water to power a watermill. Of which the Ash had many along its course once upon a time. So all of these things that we have done to the river really disables their natural processes, things like sediment moving, natural deposition and erosion, maintaining good water speed so that it creates oxygenation throughout the whole of the year. By putting the wiggles back, we're helping to restore some of those natural processes and actually give the river a helping hand towards managing itself for the future to support its whole range of wildlife and the natural ecosystem services it provides as well.
And I was interested to see that you reconnected some backwaters of the River Ash. So parts of the river had been completely disconnected. They'd ceased being the River Ash. Well, I mean, that must have been very, well, lovely to be able to do, and how sad that that's what happened to the
river. Yeah, absolutely. There were quite a number of, we call them paleo channels or relic meanders, that had been filled in at some point in the past. So not within living memory of anybody. We think fairly well they were connected to railway building, the old Buntingford line that used to run up the valley, and may have happened at that point. But the changes certainly predate any of the old historic maps that we could lay reference to, but were very visible when looking at either the levels within the floodplain or even on LIDAR. So picking up the old curves in the floodplain that had been filled in and using them as our framework to pick them back out and redig those channels.
That sounds like quite a bit of detective work there, having to kind of go back in history and try and work out where your river had gone to.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a whole level of planning detail that goes in behind these schemes, you know, not least to make sure that what we're doing is sensible for the current environment, the current situation, but also will provide that natural boost to the river and help it regain those processes that it's lost. So whether that's digging up paleo channels or removing weirs, you know, all of those things that we've done to them that have really disabled the processes, we're trying to reverse and to some extent go back in time, but within the current constraints of the new environment.
So you mentioned 3,000 tonnes of gravel that you'd that you put in the river. So doesn't that make the river very shallow if you put 3,000 tonnes of gravel into it?
Depends how deep it was before. So, you know, much of the ash has been heavily, heavily dredged. So certain areas when taking bed level surveys were, 8 to 6 foot deep. And most of that infill was silt. So you've got a huge void at the base of your river there that's doing nothing to support those natural processes. There's no opportunity there for fish like wild brown trout to spawn either. And they rely on really nice, clean, fast flowing gravels. So really, you've got a void that we were looking to backfill with the material that had once been taken and stolen from the river. But one of the ways we consider as well when we're putting this gravel back is we need to make sure that we're not in a position to increase flood risk to property, especially. Obviously, certain parts of the floodplain we're encouraging to flood. We want that lateral connection so the river can kind of come up in the winter and then recede back in the summer. But we can balance throwing gravel back into the river, placing gravel into the river with regrading the banks to create additional carrying capacity at certain pinch points. So you could sort of do a bit of reworking, if you like, of the channel geometry and find a new solution that supports the river's processes without increasing flood risk in areas you don't want it.
Well, this sounds really quite involved and complicated. Do you have civil engineers involved to give you advice on what must be quite a complicated process?
Yeah, so throughout the design phase, that's the phase where we're basically getting everything ready to then go to the Environment Agency and others for permitting of the work. We work with specialised contractors, so contractors who are geared up for specifically river and wetland restoration, who hold the necessary insurances and licences, etc., and are able to do these engineering calculations to make sure we're doing the right things. And I will support that process and guide it and lead it as well. But the kind of the engineering calculations are all done within that planning stage.
So another thing that you did was incorporating 15 new ponds. I wondered why those were important to the river.
Historically, our chalk rivers, they wouldn't have been single channels. They would have been braided systems out in the floodplain, and they would have connected to wet woodland, wet grassland, reed bed, and other wet-dependent habitats as well. And in Hertfordshire, we've lost 99%. We only have 1% land cover that is still wetland. So it's a really short supply, and it's much less than the national average of 5%. So at the Wildlife Trust, we're very much promoting re-wetting our landscape, whether that's through creating ponds or online wetland features, wet grass and wet woodland, just enabling that river to better connect with the surrounding land and inundate it. And with that, it brings things like ecosystem service benefits, such as providing clean water, creating better carbon storage in wetland as peat forms, as well as just providing great habitat for insects that will support the whole upper food chain of wildlife.
So I'm wondering what it all looks like now. It does sound like it must have, even if it isn't that, it must have looked like a huge building site with all of this heavy machinery and moving things around. Is that what it looks like now?
Well, I'm glad to say all the machines have gone. So we wrapped up at the end of August, just before the autumn really started. And of course, we've left in place areas of the river that do look freshly worked on, but they very quickly green up. Come this time next year, it will be quite difficult, I think, to tell where the bank regrades have happened because the natural vegetation will move in. We've also seeded. So any of the regrading we've done along the banks, we've seeded with a native floral mix, whether a neutral meadow or a nice pond edge to give a bit of structure and diversity, as well as plug planting all of our wetland features.
And I understand that you had some valuable volunteer help with that planting process.
We hosted a community planting day back at the back end of summer, and it was really great to have a number of people local to the Widford Wearside area come down and actually help plant up the paleo channel, get really stuck in, wellies on and gloves on. So yeah, big thanks to those helpers.
So you're going to be monitoring the levels of wildlife from now onwards so that you can take a look and see whether what you have done has actually worked, I suppose, to help with projects like this in the future.
Absolutely. So one of the key considerations for us is making sure that the river is moving towards what we expect it to go to in terms of its habitat quality and, of course, the range of wildlife that it's now supporting. So we have a whole suite of monitoring across both wildlife, so things like invertebrates, waterfowl. We're counting wild brown trout spawning in the winter to understand if that's increasing and expanding. Now we put the gravel back. But on top of that, we've also done a habitat morphology baseline. So looking at the structure of the river and the structure of the direct floodplain around it, so that we can assess by a defrimetric whether the river's moving towards a better status. So a kind of fairly good to good condition is where we're hoping it to go from a fairly poor to moderate where it was. So yes, a good old suite of monitoring. And that just helps us as well to think about in the future any adaptive management that we might need to look at with the farm, with the estate, whether that's vegetation management or a bit more intensive management. If some of the features aren't quite working in the channel, it just gives us that helping hand to understand how the river's responding and react accordingly.
Have you actually been over to the river and had a look to see whether there's any wildlife that is taking advantage of what you've provided for them?
I've been down there quite a lot, and very excitingly, a couple of weeks ago, having a little walk along the new channel at Widford, and flushed a green sandpiper, as well as a family of wagtails and a kingfisher all on the same day. So really exciting, as wildlife is clearly taking advantage of these new wetland features being in place and starting to explore them.
Well, do you know, it is great to have a positive news about our rivers, isn't it? So many times we're hearing about how polluted they are and degraded. So it is great to hear that you have been working hard to push the dial in the other direction. So we look forward to hearing in future about some lovely sort of wildlife stories about the wonders you've been able to achieve here. Sarah, thank you so much for telling us about this great project.
Very welcome, Amanda. Thanks for having me. Yeah, look forward to updating you in a few years with what's being found there.
I was talking there to Sarah Perry, the River Catchment Coordinator for the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. Now, I'd never considered that a river restoration project would be so hugely complicated and involve so many people. So it's great that the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust have had the vision and the bravery to undertake such an ambitious project. Do you agree? Do you think we need large projects to help nature, or should we be concentrating instead on smaller things? You can get in touch with me and tell me what you think via email. I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com, or look for Environment Matters on Mix 92.6, on X and on Facebook. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.